Hello, thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Receptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. If you are a frequent listener of the podcast and had trouble with last week's podcast, that is because I accidentally uploaded episode 228 in the 229 slot, but I have since corrected that. So if you were missing a podcast or thought it doubled up, please go ahead and check the prior podcast. It should all be fixed now, and you should be able to get episode 229 appropriately, which brings us to episode 230. Sorry about the mix-up. I appreciate your patience. As photographers, seeing is probably the central element of our photography. What we acknowledge in the world, how we respond to the world to ultimately create a photograph is based on how we see that, how we perceive that option and that opportunity to create the photograph. And I wanted to talk a little bit about this notion of responsibility or the way we see or how we respond and what allows us to take steps forward to understanding more and more how we see and acknowledge the things that we're photographing. When we look at the world, we all see it and perceive it differently. It's one of the things that makes an inkblot test so interesting. You know, you show what is basically a nonsensical blot of ink, and people will see different patterns, they'll see different emotions, they'll see different objects. Because we're all different, we all bring a different set of variables to the equation of how we see. It could be based on our hopes. It could be based on fears. It could be based on the way we were raised. It could be based on a lot of different things that culminate in how we ultimately see. We also can't always rely on what we see as being 100% reliable. If you think about an M.C. Escher drawing and the fact that they're impossible to actually exist in the real world, but yet when our brain looks at them, we acknowledge the fact that for some reason it seems to work. The infinitely going up staircase. Whatever the thing is that we see, we have to accept the fact that sometimes it's not accurate, sometimes it's not possible, and sometimes it's not even plausible. On top of that, we're struggling with the notion of things being photoshopped. So as our overall visual literacy is shifted, I won't say it's becoming better, but as it's becoming shifted, we start to wonder whether or not there's accuracy within the photograph anyway. So all of these subjective things about how we see the world through the camera lens and how we see the actual photograph itself create a very subjective element to photography. Anybody who's ever had their work critiqued knows that that subjectivity is at the foundation of any criticism, because you can take the same photograph to five different people and get five different responses. But when it comes to us actually seeing, this is what I wanted to focus on more today, is the notion of how we actually see, because there's a couple of, well, there's an element that I've really started to think about is how we approach everything that's in front of the camera lens. And if you think about the phrase, you can't see the forest for the trees, meaning you're so inundated, you're so in the weeds, you can't step back and see the larger picture, that's how a lot of us approach our photography is, we either approach it as by looking at parts, or we look at it as the whole. And I think you probably fall into one of those two patterns. If you think about how you see the world, how you just exist within the world, are you more of a big picture person? Or are you more of a detail person? You hear people say, I'm detail oriented. We would expect to find that same detail orientation in their photography. If somebody says, oh, I'm a much bigger picture person, we would expect to see a much bigger frame, for example, in the photograph. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be the opposite. It doesn't mean you won't occasionally take some different photographs. But just like some people are wide-angle photographers, they shoot 24 millimeter more than they do anything else, and other people are 100 millimeter people, we end up with these different ways and a different response in the way we see. And I think the challenge of becoming a good photographer, the challenge of becoming a good seer, is that we have to be able to see both the part and the whole. And we need to be able to distinguish the difference between those and also recognize that every part is a whole unto itself, and every whole thing that we see is just a part of something bigger. And part of the notion of framing and part of the notion of composition is being able to come in and distinguish what part of a bigger whole are you going to include in the frame? What makes the distinction of looking at an area and saying this needs to be included and this needs to be excluded? Because ultimately the frame becomes the whole. Whatever you include in the frame becomes the whole of the photograph. And we may, even at a micro level, even if we go in and look at, you know, through a microscope we're photographing, that frame, as soon as it's created, becomes the whole of the photograph. It becomes the entirety by which the next person will view that image, and it becomes the entirety by which you will view that image when it comes in for you to process. So all those decisions you make about what to include and what to exclude within the frame become critical. And I think that's one of the things about photography that's so interesting, and I think it's also one of the things that's important about you figuring out how you organically approach that work. Because if you focus and only see parts, that might explain why sometimes your frames are off. So many times you'll hear people say, well, I just didn't see that. I didn't realize that was going to happen, or I didn't think that was going to be that big a deal in the frame. Whether that be a pole coming out of somebody's head, whether that be a big blob of a white negative space in the center of the frame, if it's a oddly shaped overlap of two people walking down the street, or where two people walking down the street merge, and it does become interesting. It doesn't really matter what it was, but it was an unintended awareness, an unintended scene that causes a problem within the frame. And while I acknowledge it could benefit us sometimes, more often than not, it becomes the hindrance, because part of our responsibility in seeing the whole frame is we have to quickly assess the individual parts and how they are coming together to build that frame. As you look at the work, as you look through the lens, a lot of us get target fixated on what is the subject matter of the photograph or the subject of the photograph we're trying to convey. Between those two things, we can get blinded to the other elements that we need to see. And so what happens is when we come back and look at the frame, it no longer structurally holds the same value. And the reason for that is we ended up on looking at parts and not the whole. We looked at a small area, fixated on that, and we failed to realize the impact of the entirety of the frame. Conversely, sometimes we look at the entirety of the frame and we see something really interesting, and we capture a much bigger frame than we needed. And the subject matter becomes lost. We actually can't identify what's going on in the frame because we failed to position it properly, to move in close enough, to fill enough of the frame so that the person who's then viewing the entirety of the photograph can understand what the photograph's actually about. I always like to use the spiderweb example here, where you have this beautiful spiderweb with some dew droplets on it. There's just a couple of little things floating down, and you see this beautiful image, and then you step back, and that becomes the equivalent of a quarter of an inch in a 16 by 20 print. And you can't understand why people don't like the photograph, and you're like, but the spider web's so cool, and yet it represents literally nothing within the frame. So understanding that sometimes if we get too much of the whole, we fail to identify the part. So it's really about coming into balance between identifying whole elements, parts of elements, and recognizing that no matter what we see to frame within the photograph, as soon as we create that composition, that in itself becomes the entirety. The benefit of this is, if we've done our job, the whole of the frame and the parts within the frame become interesting enough that somebody will stay and linger within the photograph. So one of the key elements of this is learning to identify what's a part and what's a whole within the photographs you're creating. The great part about this is you can go back to your existing work and do this exercise. Take one of your existing photographs, and what are the individual parts that make up the photograph? And then what are the whole elements of the photograph? When you're doing the parts, it's really easy to say, well, there's a table and a chair, there's two people, but also do your parts based on compositional lines and abstractions. So there's two circles, there's five triangles, there's four squares. There's three straight lines, there's three curved lines, there's physical elements, there's atmospheric elements. Whatever it is, start to identify all the various parts of the photograph. Get a list of those. And if you just did one photograph and got really, really anal about identifying all the parts, depending on the complexity of the photograph, you could be there a while. Now, if you've got a photograph of a sailboat in the fog, and that's the only thing that's in the fog, it's probably going to be a shorter list than a street photograph. But still, spend the time to come up with all those various parts, and then think about how those parts can be arranged to impact the whole. If the boat was moved left, if the boat was moved right, if this person on the street was standing somewhere else, if they had on a different color jacket, we want to go look and think about all of those different parts and identify those parts. And part of this is a scene training exercise. This is the equivalent of looking at 500 ink blots. We want to go in and start to identify those various parts and what makes the whole of the photograph. So what is that whole photograph actually about? What does that whole photograph contain? And did you make the right decision based on the sum of the parts to make the whole to get the right kind of photograph? Because a lot of our photography comes out of the realm of we believe the photograph to be true to us. So it may not be true to somebody else, but we're creating our own work. It's a reflection of who we are. And when we get the stars in alignment and we really do our job behind the camera, we create meaningful work that matters to us. So part of that is seeing things and recognizing the sum of these parts in the whole. When we start to see, we start to realize, we start to gain a set of knowledge. We gain an awareness of something about ourselves through that composition, through that frame. It might be as simple as that is beautiful, or it might be more complex in your psychology. Either way, it's all about understanding more about yourself. And you are an establishment of various parts and elements of your life that dictate ultimately how you relate to the world, how you see the world. So the more you start to understand how you put various parts together to make the whole of the photograph, the more you can probably start to get an awareness of how you put the parts together to make your own existence within the world. Once you get that awareness, you're more likely to create more compelling, more interesting photographs because you have more awareness of who you are. So that's why understanding parts versus the whole and getting over the initial reaction of why a photograph is what it is, but understanding how do you approach it? Do you approach it from a wide, big picture framing first and narrow down? Do you look at smaller areas and step back? How you approach that will tell a lot about what you do and how you respond to life and photography. And like I said, from that, we just get a better awareness. I would encourage you to spend some time with your existing photographs and do the exercise of trying to figure out what you see and how you respond to it. What are the parts? What's the nature of the whole? And are those parts properly assimilated into the photograph and properly read in the photograph so that you have a good experience? I hope you have a great week. I hope you tried the exercise. I think you'll find it insightful. But either way, if you don't, I hope you have a great week. Get out and make some amazing photographs. Spend some time out in nature. Walk around, even if it's cold in the wintertime, if it's hot in the summertime, spending time outdoors, just rejuvenate yourself a little bit with getting back to some grass and some trees and getting out of all the concrete. You can always find us up on Google, Apple, Spotify, all the places podcasts are found. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you have a great week, and I will see you next time.